If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37. And someone asked me this morning, they said, "So what are you preaching on?" I said, "I don't know." And sometimes I feel like a quarterback going into the huddle and I'm kind of looking on my wrist like that. And kind of like that. So I've got three messages. This is the one. And so here we are. All right. We're going to preach one, and then if that's not the one, you can stay later, and we'll try the other two, see if that's the right ones. But Genesis chapter number 37, I want to speak on this subject this morning, sitting in God's waiting room. Sitting in God's waiting room. And so that's the message of the week. Here we go. We're going to look down at the life of Joseph, and it's very interesting. 13 chapters of the Bible deal with this man's life. John 3:16 is only one verse in the whole Bible, and it's famous. But Joseph, 13 chapters. He is a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The Bible says Joseph was sold for pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for pieces of silver. Joseph had a coat of many colors his brothers took. Jesus had a coat sewn without seam that the soldiers took and gambled over. Joseph's brothers did not believe in Joseph. Jesus' brothers did not believe in Jesus as they grew up. Many, many parallels. I just love Joseph. I just love him. He is one of the three Bible characters besides Jesus that God takes his life from his youth all the way through old age and death. And there's not one negative in his life that he caused. Not one. The other two people would be Daniel, and then the other one would be, well, who knows? I'll have to dream up someone else. But so let's look down, please, in Genesis. Here we go. Good, good, good. And let's give some good seats, some people just coming in. Don't make them sit up in the bleachers. We don't want the box off. We want 50-yard line, Brother Joseph. 50-yard line. So here we are. We're looking right in the scriptures. Genesis 37, and we're going to look at this quickly. Here we go. Genesis 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah. Skip down. It says, and he brought to his father their evil report. So here's Joseph. He's going out to the fields. He's got at least seven other brothers. And he comes back and says, "Dad, I just want you to know what your sons are talking about. I want you to know what words they're using. And I want you to hear what they're saying and doing. I knew, Dad, you'd want to know that." By the way, there's one thing called tattletale. That's someone just trying to get people in trouble. But a truth teller is telling the leader, "Hey, I knew you'd want to know this." And so he tells his dad, "Hey, you know, our brothers are misbehaving. You would not be proud of what they're doing." So he brings the evil report to his dad. And then it says in verse 3, "Now Israel," or his dad, "loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved them more than his brethren, they hated him." Verse 5, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Boy, there's some problems here. So, well, let's pray. Father, again, bless this time. Help us. Amen. So there are four, by way of introduction, there are four tests that Joseph went through in his life. And I'll say this, there are four tests that a nation goes through. There's four tests that a family goes through. There's four tests that a marriage goes through. There are four tests that a young person goes through. And you got to pass all four. You got to pass all four. That's what made Joseph great. He passed all four. What was the first test? We have to go quickly. One, and I hit on some of this maybe a year or so ago. He passed the test of adversity. Adversity. If you spell out the word adverse, means against. You're going this way, it's coming this way. Adverse city. Adverse city. Where you live? Adverse. What's the name of your city? Adverse. Adverse city. That's where I live. Adversity. Now, why did he have adversity or problems, Joseph? Well, one, his dad caused it. Sometimes it's the family itself that causes our problems. His dad makes this beautiful coat of many colors. He's got seven sons, gives it to just one. You think the other six sons says, "Wow-wee, what a nice coat Dad made you. We're so happy for you." No, they probably beat him up every day. Find your coat, Joseph. Find your coat. We'll wrap that coat around your neck right now. So the dad caused it by having a favorite. Parents, I cannot overemphasize it. To your kids, they've all got to feel like your favorite. Especially with blended families. Well, these are mine, and these are yours, and these are ours, and we don't know whose these are. They just live here. And pretty soon, you know, it's difficult because kids see it, especially teenagers. They start seeing if it's unequal treatment. Well, they're getting away with murder, and they never get punished. I get time out, and they get a raise in their allowance. You got to be even. You got to work at it. And that's why it's so important that parents talk. Turn the television off. Set your cell phones down. Talk about the kids. I'm worried about this one. What can we do? What do you think we should do? Let's get on the same page. How do we raise these kids for the glory of God? Amen. So there was adversity. Amen. Some was caused by the parents. Second, some was caused by Joseph. He didn't know. He's a 17-year-old. He has a couple of dreams. And his dreams is this. Is this. That's wrong English. His dreams are, here's these stacks of wheat. He has stood up, and all of his brother's stacks of wheat bowed down and worshiped. He had a dream. He was the sun, and there were all these little stars bowing down and worshiping him. So he tells the dream, hey, bro. Hey, bro. That's slang short for brothers. So he says, hey, bro. Hey, bro. I dreamed a dream. I have a dream. Anyway, he said, I have this dream, and I dreamed that one day you're going to worship me. I'm sure his brothers were so happy. Wow, we can't wait till this dream comes through, and we're going to bow down and humble ourselves next to our kid brother. They were fired up. They hated him. So one day he ends up, he's going to check on his brothers, and they look, and they're so angry they don't even use his name anymore. That's how you can tell when someone despises someone. No longer do they use their name. They said, behold, this dreamer cometh. Let's kill him. No, let's sell him. They throw him into a pit. He's screaming and crying for his life. They sell him as a slave. Adversity. Hit some tough times. You got to pass that test. By the way, America went through some tough times. You study history. I know they don't teach it anymore, but you study it. History is his story. His story of dealing with a nation called America. You deal with how the ships barely even made it to America and how the mast broke on one of the first three ships. And they took a big bolt. Where did they get a big bolt? Out of the printing press they were bringing to America to print Bibles. And so the big bolt fixed the mast, so they made it to the new land, and on and on. God's dealings with our country. There was adversity. Every family lost a loved one that first Thanksgiving. There was disease. There was battle with the Indians. And then there was persecution among themselves. False teachers came in and said, if you don't baptize your babies, we'll burn you at the stake. We'll drown you. So there was religious persecution even once they came to America. And guess what? They got through adversity. We got through the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and World War I and World War II. And God is a big God who can get a nation through anything. Amen. We got problems now. I'm not going to rehash the news. You've seen a lot of news this week. But I'm saying our God can. He can humble a nation. He can bring a nation to its knees. We may go through some tougher times before it gets better. But we do want revival. And so he passed the test of adversity. Joseph didn't quit. He didn't get cynical. Number two, He is now sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. You can read it in chapter 39. He works for him, if you do the math, it's hard to believe, 11 years. Works from age 17 to age 28. He's lonely. He has no church. His parents aren't around. He is now sold to an Egyptian. He's in Egypt where there are no morals and there's pagan gods and idols to worship. He has no preacher to say, He has no parents to say, Joseph. His owner, Potiphar's wife. He's working in the house. One day she does this. Hey, she owns him. He's the slave. Hey, come here. Here's the bed. The Bible says, neither would he lie by her, be with her, and he fled out of her presence. Test number two, you ready? Allurement. Amen. Whether it's sexual sin or lying or cheating or stealing or whatever the sin is, it allures us. We are all allured by some sins. Come here. No one will know. No one will tell. It's just you and me. I know you're lonely. I know you're weak. I know you want me. He got out of the house. Let me encourage you. If you're ever going to be used greatly for God, you're going to have to find out, what is it that allures me? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it a fake lifestyle? Is it gangs? What is it that allures me? Is it pornography? What is it? And you're going to have to run from it. No one would have known, but he said, how can I sin this great sin against God and against your husband? I cannot do this.
Amen.
And guess what he got for it? Prison. He got prison. She filed charges. He tried to. He went to jail. He never got to speak his piece. He never got a lawyer. It was just, the boss said it, you're in jail 2 years. 2 years. He does right and look how it pans out. Now let me just encourage you. Sometimes you're going to do right at work. You may lose your job. Now we want you to say this. Well, that's a lie. I said we want you to say this. Well, I don't lie. You're going to lose your job. I guess I'll lose my job. Amen. There comes a time when you do right. There may be some persecution. That's one thing we've never seen in our lifetimes in America. In Afghanistan last week, two church leaders were killed. It's not going to make the news. One was crucified. One was drugged behind a car till he expired. Leaders of churches were killed by the terrorists. It's not going to make the news. But that's what happened last week. Persecution. Here in our country, at most, someone may honk the horn at you and say, hey, we don't like you. Someone may say, don't give me this gospel tract. But we could come to a whole lot more than that. We don't know. We don't know. He passed the test of adversity. He passed the test of allurement. And then quickly, he passed the test of advancement. Many of you know the story. I'm not going to read all the passage. He interprets the king's dream and the king promotes him to be the prime minister of the land. He tells the king there's going to be a famine 7 years. 7 years are coming, but before that, 7 years of plenty. 7 years, prosperity. 7 years of famine. So he gets advanced. He's now the leader. And folks, I just want to encourage you, be careful during times of advancement. You get a raise, be careful. Get some possessions, be careful. Don't feel guilty for being spoiled by your heavenly Father, but be careful. Sometimes false security. I've got these things. I own this. I've got this. I've done this. Be careful. He got advanced, but he never changed. He was still the same old Joseph.
Amen.
Advancement. And then quickly, he passed the test of animosity. At the end of the famine and those times, his brothers get hungry over there in Egypt and they want to come back. They don't know he's alive, and they come to the now prince of Egypt, if you will. And there he is, a beard, older, 13 years older, maybe more. And they bow down and say, "We would like some food." Interesting. That's when he remembered his dreams. I remember this. If it had been me, I'd have said, they cost him 13 years of his life. They cost him to be a slave. They sold him while he was crying and screaming. 13 years. Know what he does? He feeds them. Know what he does? He calls his daddy back. Feeds his dad the rest of his life. Gives them the best land possible to graze their animals. He overcame animosity. Amen. Now let me just tell you, folks. We live in a day of a lot of anger.
Yes, we do.
The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the flesh is anger.
Right.
Fruit of the Spirit, peace. Fruit of the flesh, anger. You got to whip that thing. Nothing destroys a marriage like anger. Nothing destroys father, son, mother, child like anger. Nothing ruins friendships like anger. You've got to overcome that.
Amen.
See, it's come past the person you're angry at now. Now it has infiltrated you and there's anger. Now it is you.
That's right. Amen. Good.
And so here is Joseph. He said, "I'm going to forgive you guys. You'll never know what you did to me. You'll never understand, but I am forgiving you." Say, how do you know he forgave him? He named his two sons Forgetful and Fruitful. By the way, you'll never be fruitful for God until you're forgetful.
Amen.
You're going to have to forget some things.
Amen.
I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, you're going to live with it.
Right, amen.
You're going to live with it. We're talking about people that pass tests to be used of God in a great way. Every one of us, if we pass the microphone, if we turn this into the Oprah Winfrey show and just said, "Who's hurt you? Who hurt you? You've been hurt physically, you've been hurt emotionally. Who let you down?" Every one of us be whining, crying, hugging each other. All of us have had hurts. Hurting people keep hurting. Hurting people hurt people. We got to whip these things. So here's Joseph. Here he is. Went through all these things. He passed all the tests. Now here's the message for about 10 minutes. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is it you want to give us today?" Chapter 40 and 41 were probably the hardest. So here it is. He is sold by his brothers. Now he's a slave. He's done nothing but right. Now in chapter 40, 41, 42, now he's in prison for 2 years. He interprets a prisoner's dream. He said, "Now don't forget me." Instead, and the other prisoner forgot him. So 11 to 13 years, guess where Joseph is? God's waiting room. He's waiting. He's not in the consolation room. He's not in the surgery room. He's in the waiting room. Everything's in slow motion. He knows all the furniture. What's he doing? Waiting. Maybe the hardest activity for any Christian is waiting. Waiting for comfort. Waiting for the doctor to call. Waiting for the grief to get better. Waiting for the job to come in. Waiting for them to call for a date. Waiting for the job to call and say, "You've been hired." Waiting to feel better physically. Waiting to get the test results. Waiting for God to avenge people that have hurt us. Waiting for the pain to stop. Waiting for the temptations to stop. Joseph had plenty of time to grow bitter. Cynical. I wonder if anyone would have just stopped in the weight room and said, Joseph, does it pay to serve God? Where did it get you, Joseph? Well, I got my name flushed down the toilet. Some woman said I tried to make a pass at her. My brother sold me. Now I'm in prison, in the dungeon. 24 months of prison food. That's where it got me. But he never grew bitter. Wow, what a guy. He just sat there growing old. I want to just remind you today, dear folks, while you wait, God works.
Amen.
Just because you are idle, don't assume that God is. You can be glad because He is good. You can be still because He is active. You can rest because He is busy. You find anyone that God used in a great way, they were in his waiting room. Hey, Noah, build the ark and save the world. 110 years of building. Finally, he says, the rain's coming. Get on the ark. God closes the door. And if it was me, I'd say, all right, here it comes, boys. Thunder and light. Listen. Nothing. 7 days. Nothing. He waited 110 years and God tacked on 7 more days. I'd have gone nuts. Abraham, your wife's going to have a baby. Be patient. You're going to start the Israel race. He's 99 when his wife's name is put on the expectant mother's list at the church bulletin. Moses, God's going to use you. When? When you're 80. Let me encourage you, keep waiting. God's got something great up ahead. Don't jump the gun. Don't be impatient. And I want to say this too. Keep bouncing back.
Yes, amen.
When I was a kid, I don't even know if they make these anymore. They're probably dangerous or they're too brutal. They made these little punching bags. They look like clowns.
Amen.
And you blew them up. I think they had sand in the bottom. Now it's probably too brutal. Because they don't want to impress on young people's minds that brutality. They just give them video games of killing 1 million people a day. So, anyway, you could hit those clowns. You remember them, and they'd go down and come right back up. You could kick them. They'd fly off the ground, land, and come right back up. That was Joseph. His brothers kicked him, just bounced right back up. Woman lied about him, he just came right back up. His dad didn't know how to raise him. He just came right back up. And you see him all throughout the scripture. Now he's just waiting, but he's standing up.
Amen.
His favorite hymn would have been Rocky.
Yeah. Amen.
Just always got up and got up and got up. He had something inside of him that the others did not have. Pastor, what are you trying to get at? You would think he wouldn't have a good attitude. I want to say this. During the waiting time, God has no deals. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the south or the west or the east. It cometh from the north, from God. Well, Lord, if I go to church for 3 years, look, I'll do that if you do this for me. God doesn't make deals.
Right,
say, God is good, period. He'll work things out for our good and His glory, but He determines what's good. Because He's looking through the lens of eternity. We look at, hey, I just want to feel good, have health, have some things, have a good job, a great marriage. That's what I want. God says, I've got something that's going to last billions of years.
Amen.
That's where trust comes in. Let me ask you a question. If you could be on a beautiful island with your closest friends, the greatest activities, the greatest meals, no stress, off work, everything paid for a month. But the only catch was you had to have 1 second of discomfort And it was at the beginning of the vacation. That's what life is. This world, it seems so long, God says it's 1 second of discomfort compared to eternity.
Amen.
Say, well, Pastor, how did it all turn out for Joseph? Joseph forgives his brothers. And what's cool is the king gives him his daughter to marry. Now, she had a weird name like Ahur Halahashbaz or something like that. So maybe he changed her name, just called her Honey. I don't know. So he didn't get the woman that was chasing him 13 years before. He got a king's daughter. And he had children, named them Forgetful and Fruitful. And he went down in history. What a great guy. Because he didn't get impatient in the waiting room of life. Let me ask you a question. Is God waiting on you? Say, well, God is so slow. Maybe God looks down and says, you're so slow.
Bring it back a bit.
Hurry up! He looks down, hurry up! What's God want you and I to do? One, he's waiting on us to get saved. If we're not a child of God, he wants us to be saved. Yesterday I had the privilege, or he did, or something. I was around what you'd call a big shot. I was able to Google the person, their CEO of a big place, and help. I mean, when I Googled their name, they were using words like Apple, Amazon, MGM, Yahoo, helping them get their companies started. I said, this guy may be pretty smart. But I knew I was going to be around him just a little while. So I had some books, a track, a Jose cartoon, and I said, I heard you're real good friends to someone I know. I just wanted to give you this. It's in his hands. He has the gospel.
Amen.
You know, that's what God's trying to do for every one of us.
Amen.
He wants us saved. It's the reason he came. Right. Not our comfort, our salvation in heaven. Sometimes I have found in people's lives, he sends us through uncomfortable times to humble us, to get us saved. No problems, no one wants to get saved. No heartbreak, no one wants to accept Christ, you don't need him. And then second, he's waiting on us to get serious.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you, lovers of America, if your country ever needed you, it's right now. Not just to wave a flag, but to share the gospel with others so the God who can change a nation moves inside of their heart. People with Christ in their heart that live for him will change a nation more than any laws you could ever pass in Congress. It's time we got serious. He's waiting last for us to be surrendered. For us to be surrendered. Joseph, you're 17. Your brothers just sold you. I know, I don't understand it, but God is good. Joseph, you're in prison now. You could have had this woman and you said no and she lied about you. I know, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. He's on the throne and his brothers come and he could have had vengeance and he forgives them. Wow, what a guy. Let me ask you a question. Is he trying to get you surrendered today? In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. We've got to pass those tests. We've got to be okay with being in God's waiting room. And God will bless you.